You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Happy Monday to all our viewers and listeners. I hope you had a great weekend. And Kev, hope you had a solid weekend as well.
I appreciate that. Excited to be here on a Monday. A lot for us to get into. Again, yes, as well, of course, a happy weekend, a happy Monday to watchers and listeners. And let's get this thing going.
Yeah, let's start off with our 7-7 top headlines. The 147th Kentucky Derby was Saturday. Love seeing all the celebrities in attendance. Lots of memes and pictures around Tom Brady just living his life down there. Now at 15-1, Medina Spirit wins. The race trainer Bob Baffert has now won a record-breaking 7th Kentucky Derby.
So it was quite wild. As I'm watching the race with my family, both my dad and I have picked a couple horses, right, some win play shows, and we're cheering, and it doesn't go well. Does it ever? Some people, sure. But the second that they showed Medina Spirit was Bob Baffert's horse, it's like, oh, of course. I mean, this guy now, 7 wins at the Kentucky Derby, the most all time by any trainer. So a credit to him. Medina Spirit got out to the lead and never looked back. You know, only 2 minutes and 1 second, but it was a very exciting 2 minutes and 1 second.
Yeah, as they say, the fastest 2 minutes in sports. Let's switch gears to the NBA. Giannis leads the Bucks to a 117-114 win over the Nets. The Greek Freak went head-to-head with KD, ending with 49 points, 8 boards, 4 assists. Giannis hitting the over for his player points prop in this Eastern Conference showdown.
Sure did. 49 for Giannis, 8 boards, 4 assists as well, 3 blocks, a steal. He was the best player on the court. And the reality for the Milwaukee Bucks is, in the regular season, that's often the case when it comes to Giannis. Can that come during the postseason? Well, this had a postseason type of atmosphere to it. I know some people will say, no Harden. I get it. But Milwaukee still was only a slight favorite. They get the job done in what was a tremendous basketball game.
Yeah, we're going to have to break that game down even more. But let's talk about the Lakers. They dropped both games with LeBron James back. Of course, he missed 20 games with a high ankle sprain. Now, the Kings quite literally spoiled the Kings' return to the court Friday night. Thought you'd like that one, Kev. Mm-hmm. Then the Lakers dropped their game last night against the Raptors. LeBron ended with 19 points in 28 minutes of action, though. But he did leave this game with ankle soreness.
Yeah, look, not great for the LA Lakers at all. The King stuff being close was unsurprising. Them not closing the door was just absolute nonsense. Kyle Lowry was unconscious. He didn't even lead the team in scoring for Toronto. It was just one of those nights. Siakam dropping 39. The question, though, becomes health. LeBron leaving again with that ankle soreness. And also, Dennis Schroeder out for the second time this year with health and safety protocols. So we're getting down the stretch here. Only a few games left on that Lakers schedule. Not where you want to be.
Yeah, definitely not where you want to be. Let's switch it over to soccer, though. Manchester United's game against Liverpool has been postponed. Thousands of Manchester United fans protested against the club's owner, against the Glazer family, who, of course, had involvement in the Super League project, which was an absolute debacle. We've been talking about this on the Early Line. This was the second and largest protest from Manchester United fans in recent weeks.
This is wild. I'm glad at the end of the day, I guess, that we did cover the Super League, Aaron, because there continues to be a lot of fallout, even if the league itself is never going to get off of the ground here. Manchester United-Liverpool is a marquee game. Manchester United, one of the most, you know, well-known clubs in the world, and their fans voicing their displeasure over Glazer. The question becomes, could this continue throughout some of these Premier League games? Really interesting stuff.
And welcome in our radio audience. You're listening to The Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan, doing our 7-7 top headlines. Let's switch it over to Major League Baseball. The Mets win in a wild game against the Phillies. Now, earlier in the day, Jose Alvarado was suspended 3 games for his role in the benches clearing on Friday. He allowed 3 runs and 2 crucial walks in the 8th inning. Now, the Phillies thought it had rallied to tie the game in the bottom of the 9th with Rhys Hoskins' 3-run home run. But after review, the call was overturned because the ball hit the outfield railing. Kev, this was a wild one.
Yeah, you said it. 6 runs from the Mets in the 8th inning, an inning that they entered trailing 4-2. All of a sudden, then a Roman Quinn triple followed, as you mentioned, by the Rhys Hoskins would-be tying 3-run homer. The frustrations for the Phils throughout the whole series at the umpires has been palpable. The McCutcheon out of the base paths call. I mean, this was a fiery series. These teams have played a bunch. You could tell, all in all, Mets get the job done. They're back to 500.
And we'll be breaking down this game a little bit later in the show. Let's switch it over to golf. Sam Burns wins the Valspar Championship for his first career PGA Tour victory. Burns had been atop the leaderboard 8 times this season after every round except the one that mattered the most to get his first win.
Yeah, at the end of the day, too, this is a tournament that provided some good live betting opportunities. Keegan Bradley, who came second to Sam Burns here at the Valspar, at one point as big of a minus 200 favorite on the live board. But Sam Burns not only closing the gap, pulled away, winning by 3 strokes here down in Florida.
Yep, and the NFL draft, of course, wrapped up this weekend with the Bucs drafting University of Florida's quarterback Kyle Trask in round 2. When speaking of the draft, it's funny to see just in general how writers try to equate players with who's the next Tom Brady, but it's interesting to see the Bucs take this QB.
Well, this means Brady's washed, right? Because they have Trask. Can Brady go away? I know you don't want him to. At the end of the day, I'm good. But it is interesting to see them take Kyle Trask there out of Florida, stays in town. All in all, the NFL draft had some interesting stuff.
We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to The Early Line. Happy Monday to all our viewers and listeners. Now, on Friday, we gave you our weekend watch, some games to keep an eye on in terms of the NBA, some UFC. I mean, there were so many things that we wanted to talk about. So we're going to recap some of those important key things that we told you to keep an eye on. Now, on Saturday, we had the Nuggets playing the Clippers. Nuggets win 110-104. Kawhi Leonard was in this game. He posted 16 points, 5 boards in 30 minutes of action. Chris Paul added 20 points, but the Nuggets get the Western Conference win, holding the Clippers to just 19 points in that fourth. So Nikola Jokic continued to make his MVP case with 30 points, 4 boards, a double-double for the big boy.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day here, Nikola Jokic has been unstoppable all season long. And the question that people are going to have to ask themselves as it pertains to the Denver Nuggets and their chances to make a run at this without Jamal Murray is not just Michael Porter Jr. stepping up in the absence of Murray, not just the addition of Aaron Gordon at the trade deadline. How good is Nikola Jokic? We know he's great. We know he's going to win the MVP. But people win MVP, it doesn't mean that they're a top five player in the league. Is Nikola Jokic a top five player in the league? Would you possibly rank Nikola Jokic higher than top five players in the NBA? He's been the best player in the NBA during the regular season. Obviously, we get to the playoffs. We have higher expectations for your LeBrons, his counterpart in this game, Kawhi Leonard. We have those expectations. But that, I think, is going to become one of the questions that people are going to have to ask themselves and answer when they are betting the NBA playoffs this year, Aaron, is how good is Nikola Jokic? Because if he remains at this level, then maybe Denver is still live out here in the Western Conference.
And I think you can kind of take away from the odds words of how they think Nikola Jokic kind of stacks up against this team. I mean, the Nuggets were +5 when I had taken them as my dog of the day during Saturday. I wasn't sure what that line closed at, but either way, Kawhi Leonard only having 16 points. Usually he shoots better. Chris Paul obviously usually puts up more than 20 points. So maybe they just factored in that they did, had an off game, but I thought it was interesting to even see the Nuggets at +5 during the day against this team.
Yeah, it gives you an idea, and I think those lines are valuable, right? If these teams possibly meet, I don't really see a world for it, though. They would actually not be able to probably meet until the conference finals. But at the minimum, it gives you an idea of how at least these teams are being priced. And with Kawhi Leonard coming back, it did give the Clippers a big boost here. I will say, as somebody with a Clippers futures ticket, I don't look at this game and go, oh no, Clippers are in trouble. Oh no, Denver has their number. Look, a 5-for-21 performance from PG. Yes, Paul George has those in the bag if we get to the postseason, but he's avoided a lot of those. Here's the other thing. Kawhi Leonard on a minutes limit, his first game back in a while with that injury, only playing the 30 points. Here's another layer. No Patrick Beverley. No Serge Ibaka. These are guys that very well could be closing games for the Clippers when we get to the playoffs here. Yep. The Clippers, like most teams, they need to get healthy before the playoffs begin because Kawhi Leonard saying he's been playing on a foot injury all season long. He needs to be right when we get to the playoffs. Otherwise, folks like myself with a Clippers futures ticket, oh, we're not going to be as confident as we once were.
Yeah, and you make a great point, obviously, with Kawhi Leonard having one of his first game back. I mean, we talked about this already at the top of the show with LeBron having his first two games back. And obviously, you need to shake off that rust, especially when you've been out for a certain amount of time. But let's look at the Western Conference standings. We have the Suns holding that number one spot right now. Then the Jazz, Nuggets, Clippers, Mavericks, Trailblazers. The Lakers now in that seventh spot. Now, as you know, they dropped their last two games. LeBron was in most recently against the Raptors, 121-114. Obviously, LeBron missing those 20 games was going to have an impact when he came back, but he did leave yesterday's game against the Raptors with ankle soreness at one point. So where do you think is the disconnect with this Lakers team? And do you want to see – I mean, I know you don't want to see Lakers play in this play-in round, but is there a potential that could happen now?
Oh, there's absolutely potential for it. As you said, they right now sit in the seventh spot. And for a long time, I didn't think that potential was there. I thought LeBron was going to be back sooner than he ended up actually returning back to play. And now, even upon his return, they're losing games that they're not supposed to. And that is a big difference from when basically LeBron and AD weren't there. When they were supposed to win, they won. And that's what allowed them to stay afloat. Well, now they lose as a double-digit favorite against the Kings. They lose as a near double-digit favorite against the Raptors. The funny thing is, you've been following this Lakers team all season long like we have been here on the early line, you're actually not that surprised. I mean, Aaron, quite frankly, one of the best bets that we've been making all year long is when the Lakers were big favorites at home this year. I mean, fading the Lakers in those spots has been incredibly profitable, it felt like, time in and time out. The big question now for the Lakers, though, if Dennis Schroeder is going to miss another 10 days, that's how long he missed the last time that this had happened, he's only going to have 3 regular season games left. If LeBron's ankle, okay, is legitimately not right, as he now was saying that he rushed back, but he needed to test it, well, that's obviously a big problem. And also, we have not seen Anthony Davis take the leap that we thought he would from becoming the NBA champion and going to a top 5 player in this league. When last season ended, you ranked the 5 best players in the NBA. You probably needed to put AD inside that top 5. A lot of folks had him jumping guys like Giannis, like Steph Curry. And you can't do that right now. He's not put forward that kind of production. Ultimately, when you strap it on and it becomes time to, you know, get down to it in the NBA playoffs, you trust LeBron, you trust Anthony Davis, but if, again, we're going to be critical or concerned over the Brooklyn Nets and their health, you have to offer the same sentiment with the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, and it's interesting. It seems like odds makers aren't taking that too much into account as opposed to Lakers. Lakers moved from plus 360 yesterday to win the title to plus 460 overnight after this loss to the Raptors, while the Brooklyn Nets are plus 200. Now, I know there were some comments made by LeBron James over the weekend. For those that have Lakers tickets, do you find this troubling that he came out and said, I'm never going to be back to 100%? From my perspective, obviously that makes sense. He's older. He's given so much time to this game. But for people that have tickets that maybe aren't aware, do you think that in some way this could be a little troubling to hear him say that, especially with this high ankle sprain?
I should keep a hat next to me during our shows, and you just put it on when there's some cap going on. I mean, because that is a load of nonsense. That is LeBron drumming up the drama. The idea, oh, I'll never be 100% again. Relax, LeBron. Relax. And I say this is a LeBron guy, okay? I say this is a LeBron guy. The idea that LeBron will never be 100% again. I mean, look, he's drumming up the interest, though. People should appreciate that. We're getting the stories. We're getting excited about it. I mean, the people that are ready to fade the LA Lakers, though, I'll tell you this. I mean, it's so funny how this is going to work out. But we're going to get to the NBA playoffs, and people are going to turn the Los Angeles Lakers with LeBron James into an underdog, because people right now, this is what happens with LeBron teams. People smell blood in the water, and they jump, they attack. Sharks in the water. And then what happens? Lakers in five. And they go, oh, the easiest path of all time, Mickey Mouse title. And they don't know what to do with themselves. So here we are once again. Is this the year LeBron is vulnerable? We'll have to find out.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, the Brooklyn Nets, like I mentioned, plus 200 to win the NBA title. Lakers plus 460, Clippers plus 600, Jazz plus 650. So obviously the Western Conference really dominating there. Then you have the Bucks from the Eastern Conference plus 750 right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook. Those are all the teams 10 to 1 or less. But stay with us here on the early line. Coming up next, we're going to break down some more NBA games and MLB games that we had on our weekend watch. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. Want to continue with our weekend watch. Another game that we told you to keep an eye on was the Nets-Bucks. Bucks beating the Nets 117 to 114 yesterday. Sorry, I'm all messed up here by notes. So many games. KD, 42 points, 11 rebounds. Irving, 20 points. Now, Giannis finished with 49 points, 8 boards. Middleton, 26 points, 11 rebounds. Holiday, 18 points there. Now, the Nets are 4-2 against the spread in their last 6 games overall, so looking better there than the Bucks. 3-7 against the spread in their last 10 home games. Now, looking at the stat sheet, they're pretty similar in terms of shooting behind the 3-point line, but from field goal percentage, the Bucks were slightly better, but not great from the free throw, going 6 of 12.
Yeah, I think as you watch this game, there's a couple of questions that you ask yourself, okay? The first one would be the Brooklyn, and I don't want to say excuse because that has a negative connotation to it, but the Brooklyn response to don't worry about it because we didn't have James Harden. The question I ask is, how much does James Harden change this result? Now, that might sound a little silly because what do you mean? It means James Harden, top 10 player in the NBA. Of course he changes things. And in a way, obviously, right? It keeps their offensive floor consistent throughout the game, always having elite scoring on the floor, whether it be Durant, Kyrie, or James Harden. Again, it keeps their floor very, very consistent. But when we get to a crunch game, crunch time, 5 minutes left on the clock, and we're tied up, again, being able to go to different guys in a Harden, a Durant, a Kyrie, yes, it makes them difficult, but there's so much isolation scoring being done by the Brooklyn Nets that, of course, you swing it around. It helps. I wonder if it helps as much as people think. Here's the second question, though, and maybe the more important one, Aaron. What in the world the Brooklyn Nets can do differently to stop Giannis from doing this if these teams do meet in a series. Because I'm really not sure there's an answer. DeAndre Jordan got his butt whipped. Blake Griffin's helpless. Durant can't guard him. James Harden coming back certainly isn't helping him on the defensive side of the basketball. Now, look, I understand the Nets are good. We don't have to stop him. We're going to outscore him. We're going to score 125 a game if we see the Bucks in a series. And maybe that's true. But Giannis scored 49 points. It was a phenomenal performance. But if they meet in a series, I mean, Giannis might really average 40 a game for the series.
But I feel like even during the regular season, we're not seeing Giannis dominate like that. Obviously, this is a great game, so maybe he stepped up more. But I don't know if I could personally say I could see Giannis doing this consistently, especially with some of those lingering issues. I mean, he was hurt in the playoffs last year.
Well, he was. But even think about this. I mean, he had rolled the ankle against Houston and comes back here after missing the game against the Chicago Bulls. He was probable for the game. I mean, again, he looked fine. He knocked down four threes, which is absolutely fool's gold, okay? Don't ever buy into the, is this the time the league is ruined? No one will ever stop him. No, Giannis, when Giannis turns into an elite shooter, then we'll just, oh, okay, now that's that. Like, if he hits four threes, cool. That was the one game that you do that, and I anticipate that that'll come back to the mean here. But this is the thing, Aaron. It had the playoff atmosphere that – this is the kind of performances that when everybody's fully locked in, he can give. A Wednesday night in Charlotte, you're not going to get this from Giannis. But a Sunday primetime matchup against the Brooklyn Nets, this is the type of locked-in Giannis you expect.
Yeah, and quickly, just as we wrap up our little NBA here, we have the 76ers holding the number one spot right now in the Eastern Conference standings with the Nets behind them, the Bucks sitting in third. Now, the 76ers-Nets neck and neck. If you had to right now tell me which team you think gets that number one seed, who would you pick?
I think the favorite, and the odds suggest, has to be the Philadelphia 76ers. Right now, a game in hand. So if the Sixers win their next game, they will be one game up on Brooklyn and will own the tiebreaker. Plus, if everybody's fully healthy, Philly will not be an underdog the rest of the season. Now, Brooklyn might not be an underdog the rest of the season outside of this game on Tuesday against the Milwaukee Bucks. They have another game against the Bucks, and that is so important for the Sixers. Mm-hmm. Their two games in Milwaukee is what allowed Brooklyn to catch them. The Sixers dropping both. Obviously, one of those games they were not fully healthy for here. Brooklyn, though, if they did drop both Bucks games, it allows that separation to grow. The Sixers are big favorites to nab that one seed, and they should be.
Yep. And lots to talk about in the NBA. I feel like with the season starting to wind down and come playoffs, I'm really excited to even be talking about the play-in round and everything revolving around NBA. But let's continue with our weekend watch and switch it over to Major League Baseball, the Dodgers Brewers. The Dodgers were almost swept by the Brewers. Milwaukee wins 2-1 Thursday with Trevor Bauer on the mound, 3-1 Friday, 6-5 Saturday. And this is one of those scenarios where Kevin and I had talked about when a bettor thinks this can't happen game two, this can't happen game three, can't happen game four. Well, in game four of the series, it did not happen. The Dodgers had a statement 16-4 win over the Brewers with 5 runs in the first inning, followed with 4 runs in the second. The Dodgers just continued to roll in that game.
Yeah, multiple grand slams for this team in the first and second inning. That's going to help you get the job done. It's going to help you right the ship. We thought that Corbin Burns was going to pitch this game. He did not. He ended up going to the IL, which was unfortunate here, but it was big for the Dodgers because then they would have been trying to avoid the sweep against Corbin Burns. The big thing for the Dodgers, look, all in all, they're fine right now. There's nothing to worry about here. 17-12, one of the best records in Major League Baseball. But they had a 12-game run where they only took 3 wins off of their opponents there. They had entered the Sunday slate third in the NL West. Yes, I understand tiebreakers, half games. They were still third. The Dodgers, though, get the job done here against the Milwaukee Brewers. You anticipate that they're now probably going to right the ship going into their next series.
And another great series we wanted you to keep an eye on was the Mets-Phillies. Phils win 2-1 on Friday. Mets win 5-4 on Saturday. Then, of course, win that Game 3 yesterday. We talked about this in our top headlines. 8-7. Now, the Phils thought that they had rallied to tie the game in the bottom of the ninth with Reese Hoskins. 3-run home run, but the call was overturned. Looking on the FanDuel Sportsbook, just in terms of the NL East division odds, we have the Mets at plus 125 and the Phillies at plus 400. So we know why this game was, or excuse me, even the series was so competitive. But that third game was pretty wild.
No, it was crazy. Sunday Night Baseball has actually delivered moment after moment this year. Here's what Sunday Night Baseball has also delivered. Again, we keep this on the hush, right? Because I'm not sure. People don't seem to know just yet. 5-0 to the over on Sunday Night Baseball. Again, we said we keep this calm. Notice we didn't mention this in this top 7-7. I'm not going to mention it next hour in a 7-7. You got to be watching Meat and Potatoes here in the middle of the show if you want that update, because I don't need people finding out just yet, okay? Because when people find out, this is when stuff like this ends up going to bed. Do you know, everybody knows, okay, when you're out there betting, you need that late weekend winner. Last bet of the week, right? Let's get something in the pocket here. You avoid betting Lakers, Raptors, because you know that that's going to be a disaster. You're betting Sunday Night Baseball, last game of the week, 5-0 to the over. Let's hope that trend continues. I believe next week it's Atlanta and Philadelphia. This game, by the way, was 1-1 going into the sixth inning. It looked like we were done for. And then there were 15 runs scored in the game. Sunday Night Baseball, good stuff, but don't tell anybody.
Oh, my gosh. All right, let's continue with the weekend watch. Switching over to UFC Fight Night. This, of course, happened Saturday. 8 of the first 9 fights went the distance. The one fight that ended early did so thanks to an illegal kick and disqualification. Now in the main event, the Czech fighter was the big winner of the night.
Yuri's an absolute monster. This was a tremendous, tremendous fight. A tough way to lose this if you did end up bet the over in this fight. It did look like it was on its way to round three until that spinning back elbow connected. He possibly will get the shot at Blachowicz if Blachowicz is able to make it past Glover Teixeira, because Dom Reyes, again, a lot of people thought he beat John Jones, ended up getting a title shot alongside Jan Blachowicz as they were crowning the new champion there. Yuri is, again, just a monster. Somebody I'm excited to see whenever and whomever he faces the next time he steps into the octagon.
And let's switch it over to soccer. So Manchester United's game against Liverpool had been postponed. Fans going crazy. I mean, thousands of Manchester United fans protesting against the club's owner. The Glazer family, of course. Now, fans even clashing with police. They attempted to clear the protests away from the stadium. But honestly, these fans were going wild. So what do you think is going to happen in terms of these fans? Do you think they're going to settle down? Do you think this could escalate, get even worse? I mean, this was the second and largest protest from the Manchester United fans in recent weeks.
Yeah, I do think you'll probably see they're going to elevate the protections to make sure that this doesn't happen again would be the expectation. Also, as much as they wanted to voice their displeasure with the Glazer family, I'm sure they also want to watch their team play. United-Liverpool is a marquee game always, and I think they would have liked to seen that game happen. I'm not sure we're going to see this become a consistent theme. One thing I will say is Manchester United fans have disliked the Glazer family since they took over at that club, and every single bit of their fears they felt were confirmed by United's move to join the Super League. And this is one of those instances where saying, all right, we're out, sorry, our bad, is not going to be good enough for that fan base and those supporters. They will not be happy until the Glazers are gone. Is that going to be the end result? I'm not so sure, but I know that's what they're after.
Yeah, and fans, of course, saying they're disgusted, embarrassed, and angry by the breakaway proposals. I mean, you can tell just how angry they were with the protest pictures that surfaced yesterday. Stay with us here on the Early Line. Coming up next, we're talking about the NFL Draft.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Happy Monday to all our viewers and listenings. You're tuning into the early line on SportsGrid on SiriusXM, channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Now, the NFL draft wrapped up this weekend. Now, number one overall, of course, Trevor Lawrence to the Jags. Number two, Zach Wilson to the Jets. Number three, we have Trey Lance going to the 49ers. Now, Justin Fields went to the Bears. Mac Jones went to the Patriots at number 15 overall. Now, these other quarterbacks came later in the draft. That's what Kevin and I want to talk about right now. So, number 64 pick, University of Florida, Kyle Trask to the Bucs. We had that in our top headlines this morning. At number 66, Texas A&M, Kellen Mond to the Vikings. Number 67, Stanford's Davis Mills to the Texans. Number 133, Notre Dame's Ian Book went to the Saints. And then lastly, number 218, Texas, Sam Ellinger to the Colts. Any takeaways from the later quarterbacks that went off the board, Kev?
So I would say that Davis Mills landing in Houston is the most important of the selections because, I mean, again, Brady's obviously starting. There's going to be some Kellen Mond, Kirk Cousins takes out there. No. Winston's got the job in New Orleans, and Wentz has got the job in Indianapolis. But the Houston Texans remain in limbo. There were some reports over the weekend. People don't seem to expect Deshaun Watson, kind of regardless at this point, to play next year. And I know that they've got Tyrod on the roster, but again, if we call it what it is, Tyrod Taylor, something always seems to go wrong that, you know, ends up costing him an opportunity to play a full season at the quarterback position. Not his fault. I'm just saying that that's just how things seem to go. Davis Mills, Aaron, despite being the eighth quarterback off the board, he might end up starting some games for the Houston Texans under less than ideal circumstances for sure, but it's quite possible that Davis Mills might actually end up being a starter for a couple of games, a bunch of games maybe, down in Houston.
I mean, it's obviously such a huge possibility at this point. I still feel like that with the Deshaun Watson information that's coming available, that's coming out right now, it's just we're still unsure of which way this is going to go. And I think a lot of people in the Texans organization are just thinking, okay, this is going to be the starter potentially. So they're probably really looking into how he played at Stanford at this point and things like that. But I mean, you make a great point. This might be the Houston Texans starter next year at some point.
Yeah, and I think right now, you think about the Houston Texans, I was looking at the MVP market. I know we're going to talk offensive rookie of the year. I mean, Deshaun Watson is 50-1 to win the MVP, right next to Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey's not going to win the MVP. It's not going to running back, okay? No matter how good McCaffrey is, it's not going to happen. Watson could win an MVP. He also might not play. It shows that that uncertainty around whether or not Watson will take the field is out there.
Yeah, he's right now, of course, as the MVP plus 5,000 to win that right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook. But again, still waiting to see if he will be playing. Now, let's switch it over to the Rookie of the Year market. So these became available after the NFL draft concluded. So we have Trevor Lawrence for the Offensive Rookie of the Year plus 270, Justin Fields plus 500, Zach Wilson plus 700, Trey Lance plus 900, Mac Jones plus 900. Now, these are all the quarterbacks right at the top here. Is there anyone that stands out more than the other? I mean, obviously, Trevor Lawrence is going to have the shortest odds right now because he went number one overall. But is there a dark horse in terms of the quarterbacks?
So Fields stands out, but unfortunately for a negative reason, I would be fading Fields in this market because the Chicago Bears have made it very clear. They do not want to start Justin Fields. They want to start Andy Dalton. They believe that they have an opportunity to replicate the Alex Smith passing of the torch to Patrick Mahomes here with Dalton to Fields. Now, what does that mean to fade Fields, right? You at home are not going to, you know, minus a bazillion that Fields does not win Rookie of the Year. That's not going to be something that you're playing. What it does mean, though, is if you feel like Fields is missed price, then everybody below Justin Fields could possibly present you some value. Trevor Lawrence is the rightful favorite, first overall pick. We anticipate him being the most pro-ready quarterback, and he's going to start week one for his team. Fields, though, at 5-1 in front of Zach Wilson, I think Zach Wilson's a week one starter for the Jets. The Bears don't want Fields to be that week one starter. Mac Jones, I don't anticipate being given that opportunity to start week one. Trey Lance, I have no idea. I have no idea what they want to do in San Francisco. Again, they don't have plans. You know, Kyle Shanahan has no idea if he's going to be alive next Sunday. So they just don't plan things out there and in San Francisco, apparently. My big takeaway from the quarterbacks, though, I do think, Aaron, is Fields at 5-1 is a big-time fade because I don't think they want to start this guy week one. Mm-hmm.
And how about some of the pass catchers that are available in this market right now? Do you think they could beat a quarterback in this market?
So it is possible. You look over the last 11 offensive rookie of the year winners, six of them have been quarterbacks. We've got four running backs, and then you've got Odell Beckham as the one guy that kind of disrupted the party there. No tight end has ever won this award. But also, you know, they say there's been no tight end like Kyle Pitts to come through the draft. He is the highest booked pass catcher in the market at 13-1. The question I have for folks that perhaps are interested in betting Kyle Pitts in this market, where do you anticipate this guy finishing in targets in Atlanta? Because he's not getting in front of Julio Jones, and I don't really think he's going to be in front of Calvin Ridley either. Hayden Hurst is still a solid tight end in this offense here. Kyle Pitts checking in third at best and splitting some tight end reps with Hayden Hurst just doesn't present the value that I think folks there are looking for. Jamar Chase is 15-1, and you've got then Devonta Smith and Jalen Waddle at 17-1. What I will say on the Devonta Smith number there is I think he has the clearest path of these four guys to lead his team in targets. Jamar Chase going to still be contending with T. Higgins. And obviously, Joe Burrow is going to have to be working his way back health-wise. Jalen Waddle going to be contending with Devonta Parker and Will Fuller. Where people would tell you, I think, Aaron, they're fading Devonta Smith, is they might not trust his quarterback in Jalen Hurts. Fair enough. But if you do have that faith in Jalen Hurts, Devonta Smith, I think, has a good chance to lead rookies in targets. And you take those opportunities, and that might be some value then at 17-1.
So since we hit on the quarterback and the pass catchers, how about running backs? We have Najee Harris right now, plus 1,500 in this market. Is there any chance of a running back potentially winning this?
Yeah, absolutely. And you heard it there, right? So six of these have gone to the quarterbacks in the last 11 years, four to running backs. And before the last two have gone to quarterbacks, it was 4-4 over the last nine seasons, running back to quarterback. So running backs are absolutely live. This, unlike the MVP award, is not a quarterback award. Running backs can take this home. Mm-hmm. Travis Etienne and Najee Harris are booked at the same price of 15-1. I know Javonte Williams checks in at 29-1. Denver backfield, a little too crowded for my liking. I struggle to see Etienne being on the same team as Trevor Lawrence and winning Offensive Rookie of the Year. I struggle to see a world in which Travis Etienne is the best rookie on the same team as Trevor Lawrence. Najee Harris is a different story, though. Najee Harris is going to be in what should be a situation to lead that Pittsburgh backfield quite comfortably. One of the things that I think people can use, the fantasy community, fantasy football, get a sense of where Najee Harris is going in some of those drafts and find out that expectation there. Is this guy going to be a top 15 running back coming off the board? That means that there's a strong belief in the workload that he could be getting in Pittsburgh. I know there's some questions around the offensive line, but if he's going to be a bell cow for Pittsburgh, and if they're going to want to run the football, and if they're going to contend for a postseason position, I think Najee Harris, Aaron, could be the value at 15-1 on this board.
Interesting. So the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year is posted already on the FanDuel Sportsbook, as well as the Defensive Rookie of the Year. And we're going to talk about the Defensive Rookie of the Year in just one moment. But Kev, just overall, are these markets going to stay stagnant throughout the next couple of months? Do you want to take a player now, or do you think you wait and see how some of these players start off at the beginning of the season?
Perfect question. Absolutely important here. So I think it depends. So this is some of these guys, maybe there's a little bit of value in taking today. Trevor Lawrence, there's none. Trevor Lawrence is not going to, at least in my mind, flip to minus 110 to win this award. Now, there are some guys whose odds could grow shorter. If all of a sudden they announce that Justin Fields is going to start in front of an Andy Dalton, do his odds come down? Maybe. Does Trey Lance's odds come down? Okay, maybe. I think the only way, though, Aaron, in which I am playing anybody today is if I do believe that there is going to be some massive change in their perception by the time we get to the preseason, right? And I really go through it and I think to myself, Trey Sermon, is he going to be listed as the lead back in San Francisco? I don't really think so here. The only thing that I will say, as you look at the first five guys all being quarterbacks, Fields, Lance, and Mac Jones, if none of them are listed as the starting quarterback, they are all very likely going to be passed by the Pittses and the Harrises and the Devonta Smiths of the world. So those players could see their odds grow shorter because those three quarterbacks, if they're not week one starters, could be falling back a little bit.
So let's switch it over to the defensive side of the ball. Where do you see value in the defensive rookie of the year right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook?
So went through a little bit since 2010, seven of the last 11 winners were defensive linemen slash pass rushers. And what's really interesting is that's right, the last 11 years. The prior 11 years, 9 of 11 went to linebackers. So you ask yourself, is that a bit of a changing of the guard? Is this now an award that's used pass rush, you know, guys that are getting after the quarterback, or is that just kind of the talent that's been coming through the league? I think that's up for grabs. It's a little bit up for debate. Here's a really interesting note, Aaron. Every single person that has won this award since 2000, okay, the year 2000, was a top 40 pick in the NFL draft, and only three of those 21 winners were second rounders. Basically, you can take this award and narrow this thing down immediately to like 15 guys. Like, we're not messing, oh, look at this day three sleeper, day four sleeper. No, this goes to the best players drafted when we go through this award. So if you want to try and find some value for defensive rookie of the year, maybe a Gregory Rousseau, Miami edge rusher that ended up going to the Buffalo Bills at the 30th overall selection because he fits the bill, pass rusher, first round talent. But I personally, Aaron, I'm not going to be looking down this board for some guy that, oh, I love this day three pick by the Minnesota Vikings. That's not what we've seen bring this award home. Again, since the year 2000, every single one of them has been a top 40 pick in the NFL draft.
Yeah, definitely something to keep in mind if you want to bet into that defensive rookie of the year market. Stay with us here on the early line. We'll be right back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. In Major League Baseball yesterday, favorites went 8-7 with upsets by the Blue Jays, Rays, Indians, Rangers, Mariners, Giants, and Mets. Overs went 8-7 and just wanted to mention 13-2 to the over on Saturday. So a lot of teams now playing to the over, but unders lead on the season.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting there. All in all, you love a good total. You love a good over. 13-2 on a Saturday, though. That's quite nice.
Yeah, so let's get to our hero of the night.
Always good to get it rolling here on a Monday hero of the night. And a winner in for the very first time this year in Major League Baseball, going to a pitcher for a strikeout prop, but what a unique way. Max Scherzer gets it done. over under 8.5 strikeouts. What a sweat for those that bet this prop. As he goes 9 innings, complete game, and ends up getting that 9th strikeout for the final out of the game. He needed to record all 27 outs to bring this thing home. I am not sure you will see this the rest of the season. For a guy like Max Scherzer to go 9 innings, you anticipate him striking out 12, 13 guys. I mean, a guy that Max Scherzer, this guy has 20 strikeout games under his belt. If he is out there for that long, you got to imagine that he is sitting down batter after batter. But that wasn't the case. And that obviously is what allowed him to go a little bit deeper into this game and gets the final strikeout for the last out of the game. It was a tremendous performance. Classic Mad Max on the bump against the Miami Marlins. Only allowed 5 hits and the 1 run. Awesome performance that gets him hero of the night.
Yeah, but stay with us here on the early line. Coming up in our next hour, we're going to do our 7-7 top headlines and get into the NBA. Stay with us.
The only place to turn for expert sports gaming strategies and information.
But we just call it
The Edge.
This.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.